The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 31 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It's important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It's relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you'll be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Father. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land, and you will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective, and my aim is to teach you how to do that. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word, .org, or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to talk about the different views of the mountain of relationship with Yah, and then I'm going to ask you whether you are confident of your destination when you die. So, overview of tonight's broadcast. I regularly write and broadcast about climbing the mountain of relationship with the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Consider last week's broadcast. This broadcast looks at a different angle, the reality that the mountain looks different depending on how you come to it. I will start by noting that every mountain looks different depending on how you come to it and that each one of us must climb by our own unique path. I will then stress that no human being can tell you exactly how to climb your path. And I will point out that I can only describe my route up the mountain. I will note that there are large parts of the mountain I do not know about, but that I understand some of the Christian side of the mountain and a few other aspects as well. I will then suggest that you're already on the mountain and so should start climbing. I will then caution you to beware of people who think that their way up the mountain is the only way. I will then ask you if you're confident of your destination when you die and discuss the scenarios available to you. Finally, we'll look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So today's broadcast is based on the article 2021-0105, The Different Views of the Mountain of Relationship with Yah. I regularly write and broadcast about climbing the mountain of relationship with Yah. Let's start that again. I regularly write and broadcast about climbing the mountain of relationship with the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Consider last week's broadcast. This broadcast looks at a different angle, the reality that the mountain looks different depending on how you come to it. So what you see on the screen, for those of you who are watching the video, is the cover of my set of books on entitled The Almighty Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You. And what you see is the very steep, very jagged mountain. And alongside that, you have a scale representing the number of people on Earth in December 2015 who were at different levels on that mountain. And if you look closely, you probably can't read off the numbers there, but if you were able to see closely, you would find that there are only a few million people on that mountain. There's quite a few at the foot of the mountain who really just scrape by into heaven, and then the vast majority of the population of the earth is not going to make it into heaven. So it's important to understand that every mountain looks different depending on how come to it. So it is with Yah's mountain. The mountain looks very different if you come to it as a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew, a yogi, a Baha'i, a Hindu, etc. You can see the diagram on the screen there, which basically shows you a plan view of a mountain and then a lateral view where you can see the two peaks. There's a gorge in between the two peaks. And depending on how you look at that mountain, it looks very different from different angles. And it's really important to understand this, folks, because people get very stuck on their view of the mountain. And it really is so that if you're a Muslim, you see the mountain from a different direction and a different angle to if you're a Christian or a Jew or any of the other faiths that I've mentioned. It's most notable between Muslims, Christians, and Jews because there are relatively large populations of those on the earth. And what we see happening in Gaza at the moment is in large measure. Apologies for that. What we see happening in Gaza is in large measure a consequence of the different views of the mountain. It's tragic. The Creator is huge. The creation is huge. Each one of us comes to the mountain down a very specific journey to get there. And that's showed by the diagram. So each one of us must climb by our own unique path, and that's shown in the diagram that's on the screen. Each one of us must climb by our own path. Choose your own route with Father, and do not try to climb by my route or by anyone else's route. You are unique. You can see on the diagram there that in some cases the path is quite easy, in other cases the quite path is pretty steep, and in some cases you have to sort of go back and get some climbing gear. But the basic metaphor is that this thing of tens or hundreds or thousands or millions of people all trying to climb the mountain by one route that has been appointed by one human being, it's just not true, folks. To a point, yes, if you've been brought up in the same culture and the same background, you will tend to see the mountain the same way. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that you have to slavishly climb the mountain by the same route climbed by anybody else. And then no human being can tell you exactly how to climb your path. No person can tell you exactly how to climb your path up the mountain. You will have had experiences in your life to date that are unique to you. You will encounter obstacles that are unique to you. And no matter what you know today, what you will learn tomorrow is a function of how you relate to Father. And the more you relate to Him, the more you will learn, the more you will climb, the faster you will climb, and the less you relate to Him, the slower you will climb, or you may not even climb at all, or you may slip backwards. I can't tell you exactly how to climb the mountain. I can give you pointers. I can share my experience with you, and there's a huge amount of my experience on the website. But at the end of the day, I journeyed for 31 years to get to where I am today with all sorts of twists and turns and wrong turnings and mistakes and what have you. It would be pointless for me to try and explain to you the path that I followed, let alone it would be presumptuous and arrogant of me to suggest that you should follow my path. And frankly, it's presumptuous and arrogant of any human being to suggest to any other human being that they know the way up the mountain. It's entirely between you and Father. I can only describe my route up the mountain, the route that I followed to climb the mountain, and give you advice based on that path and limited to my experience. That's what my website and my books document, My Way Up the Mountain. See particularly the webpage compilation of most writings and all the articles towards the top of the website. I can help you if you come to me for help and through my broadcasts, etc., by sharing my experiences, my sharing my learnings. But you will dip into those and dip out of those in your own unique way. I can also help you if you email me or get on Zoom with me or whatever, with the help of the Spirit of Yah that lives in me. I can help you to chart your unique course. But I can only do that if I interact with you. So that's why I encourage you, if you decide to climb the mountain, or particularly if you decide you want to get to the top of the mountain, that you get in touch with me, email me. And then it's important for you to understand that there are large parts of the mountain that I do not know about. There are large parts of the mountain that I do not know exist, and therefore I can only help you when you get there. It is so that each person has huge ignorance of the other views of the mountain. So it is possible to have two people who are both devout believers but who have huge differences in terms of their knowledge and experience of the Almighty, as shown on the web image, or the image that's on the screen now. And what you see there, the red lines and the blue lines, it's called a radar plot, and it shows error or wrong doctrine on the periphery. So 100% error is at the outer limit of the circle there, and zero and has 0% truth. At 100% truth is at the center of the plot, so it's a dot. Where people as all error on the same subject will plot on the perimeter. In the case on the website, we have two people. The person in red, for example, a Christian, has a lot of truth on certain topics. The items to the right and a lot of the items to the left, and a lot of error on the other topics, the items to the right. The second person, e.g. a Muslim, has a lot of truth on the subjects the Christian has a lot of error on, and a lot of error on the subjects the Christian has a lot of truth on. It is so. I've read the Quran once. I've read the Christian Protestant Bible from Genesis to Revelation over 20 times. I've read the so-called New Testament probably another 15 times. I've lived in the Christian world. I no longer regard myself as a Christian, but my experience has come largely from the Christian world. I will be the first to admit that if I'm talking to a Muslim, there's a lot that I do not understand about where you're coming from. The same if I'm talking to a Jewish person, to a Hindu, to a Buddhist, wherever, your view of the mountain will be distinctly different to my view of the mountain. There will be a limit to how much I can tell you what to do, except if you engage with me directly in a way that the Setapot Spirit, the Holy Spirit within me, gives me utterance and guidance to guide you. And so there may be articles on the website that are just don't make any sense to you. But I hope that there are a few that do make sense to you. So this is what I mean by the different views of the mountain, and explains why, for example, Muslims and Christians are both attempting to serve the Creator but can hardly agree on anything. Same principle applies to all other religious groups. So, moving on from the diagrams, it's a challenge, folks. The thing to avoid is the situation that is so prevalent in the world today, which is we have group A and group B, as on the diagram that's on the screen, who hardly agree on anything. Each group is in a whole lot of error, which the other group can see, and each group has a lot of truth, which the other group can't see. And then we end up with the situation where there are loggerheads. I'm right, you're wrong, you're talking nonsense, etc., etc., etc. And then we get abusive and insulting and aggressive. And I wonder if you have any idea how it grieves our loving, gentle Father in heaven to see what groups of people who each claim to put him first in their lives do to each other. I wonder if you've got any idea how much what's going on in Gaza grieves him, how much what happened on the 7th of October grieves him. Neither party is right. It's a horrible situation, and it's horrible for Father Yah, because there are believers of significant level on both sides of that conflict. And he said to me a couple of days ago, he's got Muslims coming to him and asking for him to beat up the Jews, and he's got Jews coming to him and asking him to beat up the Muslims. Do you have any sense of how traumatic that is for him? So coming back to a point I made a few minutes ago, I understand some of the Christian side of the mountain, and I say some. In considering my writings, it's important to be aware that, as I said a few minutes ago, I understand quite a bit of the Christian side of the mountain, but even then there are many factions, streams, and denominations I do not know or know well. As I've journeyed with Yah, I've learned about some key aspects of what other religions have as truths. So my view of the mountain is more diverse and more inclusive than most. But my knowledge of the other sides of the mountain is nevertheless limited. So I will again acknowledge I don't know a lot of detail about Roman Catholicism, for example. I don't know a lot about Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses or Seventh-day Adventists. I know a bit. I know some of the truths that they have that I've taken on board. I know some of the errors that they have that I've put on one side. But at the end of the day, there's a whole body of knowledge that goes with each of those groupings, denominations, religions, whatever, that I know nothing about. And if you come from one of those groupings, you're going to find that there's some of what I teach that you're going to find foreign and disconcerting. I then want to suggest that you may well already be on the mountain and therefore you should start climbing. By which I mean that since you're listening to this and have listened this far, you've been listening for about 20 minutes, it is likely that you're already on the mountain. So I encourage you to start climbing and Yah will show you your own unique path up the mountain to deep relationship with him. There are over 1,250 web pages and over 2,500 articles on the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, that are there to help you. There's considerable functionality to now have Father to lead you through the website on your own unique journey. There are answers to a lot of questions. But I say again, if you're coming to the mountain from a side that I know little about, you will find that there is a significant amount on the website that may not really strike a chord with you. Dip in. Ask Father to lead you. Father, I ask you to show me what you want me to read. There are sliders and there's the keyword cloud and so forth on the website that enable you to search all over the place. You can, there's a Google search and there's an article search. So if you've got a couple of keywords, just go in there and dip in and see what you can find. And then I have to say to you, beware of people who think that their way up the mountain is the only way. Beware of people who tell you that their way is the only way up the mountain. That is just not true. Every person has their own unique way. See the Article 7 Components of Drawing Close to Yah on the website for guidance in terms of getting going. I hope that this will help you to understand the journey that you're embarking on and to climb successfully. There's a huge amount of division, literally thousands of Christian denominations. I believe a significant number of Muslim denominations, a significant number of Jewish denominations, and. And they all basically have one driving force. Some human being had some experience of the Creator that impressed other people, such that other people have said, this is the only way up the mountain, and we will form a club of people who climb the mountain that way, and all the others are in error. Simplistically, that's what it looks like. How do you have thousands of groups around the world who disagree with one another, and they all claim to be serving the Creator at some level? Folks, think about it. It's just really beggars belief. So that's my take on the views of the mountain, and we're going to move on to another article because I've got a bit of time. So 2021-0106, are you confident of your destination when you die? Jean, you can take that diagram off. Thank you. In a recent conversation with a people who claims not to believe, they asserted that when they died, they would simply cease to exist and there would be no consequences for how they'd led their lives. So in other words, you just do what you do, be the best person you can be, whatever best means. And if there's no judgment, then one day you just, poof, cease to exist. It's a nice escapist view, but sadly it's wrong. This belief certainly relieves one of any responsibilities how one lives life. However, on the face of things, most people have a fear of dying. The widespread lockdowns with the COVID-19 virus pandemic certainly evidence that a huge number of people fear dying enough to largely shut down huge portions of the global economy. So in reality, what does happen when you die? I regularly come across people who are at the end of their lives, or whose parents or friends are at the end of their lives. And I see how people spend large sums of money on medical practitioners and other practitioners to try and put off death for a few years or a few months or a few weeks. It's actually quite sad. So I want to ask you, are you confident of what will happen when you die? Are you like the friend who is confident he'll simply cease to exist without any evidence that this is the truth? Note that there is a problem with the cease to exist theory. There are a significant number of people who've been raised from the dead. See the website, www.godisrael.today/raised-from-the-dead. At least some of these people report that they found themselves in a not very pleasant place when they died. So what does happen when you die? For a lot of people, this is a taboo subject. People don't want to think about it. But I want to suggest for your consideration that if you are not thinking about it, you are probably making a big mistake. And I say that with confidence of one who has great certainty of what faces me when I die, and were it not for the fact that I consider the message that I'm sharing with you and all the other messages that I've shared over the last few years and the articles that I publish and the rendering of the Bible that I'm busy with and so on and so forth. The fact that I believe those are important to the Creator, and therefore I'm going to stick around for a while. Otherwise, I would happily be out of here. So there are different scenarios about where you will go. So let's start at the top. A throne in heaven. If you deeply believe the Almighty Creator exists and rewards those who serve Him faithfully in this life and have developed a relationship with Him, then you will definitely enter heaven. And if you really go for it, you may qualify to sit on a throne in heaven for eternity with a glorious resurrected body and great power and authority. There are people who have been visited by Yeshua, Jesus, and deeply impressed by the glorious body and the aura around him and the power and authority and the miraculous that surrounds him. What most people don't understand is that that is available to you. If you live the rest of your life without sin, if you spend the rest of your life actively seeking to serve the Creator, if you spend the rest of your life actively seeking to climb the mountain that we've just been talking about, you too can have a glorious resurrected body with great power and great authority. Yeshua can hear conversations, or have conversations, speak to people, multiple people at the same time. He can be in multiple places at the same time. He has enormous authority. He is the most senior, most powerful human being in heaven. You can't quite make it that far, but the thrones on his left and right are still available if you want to go for it. I'm going for it, whether I make it or not. Remains to be seen. Or you could just scale down your expectations and aim for a place in heaven. If you've believed and have not made that much of an effort, but have still served the Almighty at some level, you will enter heaven at a place and rank that is proportionate to your level of service and level of relationship. You'll have a glorious resurrected body at different levels of glory and commensurate power and authority at different levels depending on the grade that you make, albeit not the same level as those mentioned above and who qualify for thrones. But you can make it into heaven if you believe, if you commit your life to Father, if you make at least a moderate effort to serve him and to do something for him. I'm not talking about going to church on Sunday, synagogue on Saturday, mosque on Friday, or whatever. I'm talking about actually doing something. It's not enough just to sit and listen. You need to do something. You need to tell other people. You need to bring people to Father. You need to do whatever you find to do. And there's a huge amount to be done because there's only a very small number of people at the moment who really have a meaningful relationship with the Creator, and he wants that relationship with you. So why shilly-shally? You too can qualify for a significant place in heaven if you make up your mind today to do that and you set about doing it. Then, of course, if you want to talk about the negatives, you could alternatively opt for the outer darkness. If you once believed in the Creator but then lived the rest of your life as though he did not exist, then you end up with a really horrible outcome. You make it into heaven, but there's nowhere for you in the throne room. So you're locked out of the throne room in the outer darkness, a cold, black, horrible place, where you will weep and wail and gnash your teeth for eternity. A horrible outcome. You can say, but I thought he was a loving creator. He is. He didn't plan for people to believe he existed and then to ignore him for the rest of their lives. So when the first person did that, he had to metaphorically scratch his head and say, now what do I do with them? Because the places in heaven have all been allocated to people who are making some sort of effort to serve me. All that was left in heaven was outside the throne room, the outer darkness. So it's a horrible place. Father calls it the trash heap of heaven. So if you are one of these evangelists who's gone rushing around the world, having big crusades, leading thousands of people to Christ, or whatever, and then done nothing to help them grow, you might just get to heaven and find that your harvest is all sitting in the outer darkness, and you've got a really, really bad report to deal with. In the lake of fire and brimstone, if you once believed and at some level served the Almighty but ultimately regressed into ongoing willful sin or else blasphemed the set apart, in other words, Holy Spirit of the Almighty, you will go to hell to pay the price for your unrepented sins, which happens in the previous cases as well, and then you will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where you will be utterly destroyed in a moment of torment and terror. It's important to understand, folks, you can be a believer, you can climb right up the mountain, and you can slip right down, and if you fall into willful sin, that you know it's sin and you keep doing it, Yah speaks to you and tells you to course correct, and you don't course correct, and he speaks to you again, or he sends spokesmen or spokeswomen, prophets, prophetesses across your path, or he communicates with you in some other way, and you just ignore him, and eventually he's going to say, you know what? You are so rebellious, I don't want you in heaven with me. And he's going to send you to hell to pay the price for all your sin, and once you've paid the price for all your sin, he's going to have you cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and utterly destroyed. So there are good reasons to be careful about what you do, what you say, how you treat other people. Father, I ask you to judge me severely, correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly, is perhaps the most powerful prayer to prevent that happening. Then an ancestor spirit or demon for the millennium and possibly longer, if you do not believe and have never believed, which is the vast majority of human beings on the planet Earth today, we're talking about over 7 billion people, you will be taken to the lake of fire and brimstone and told that that is the outcome if Yah wins the contest, and then to a viewing platform that looks into heaven and being told that you're not going there and that you've been lied to and that the Creator exists and that heaven is real. Then you'll be returned to your corpse, and you'll either remain where your corpse fell or be harvested as a demon to be used to torment other human beings until the end of the present millennium in about 979 years from now. So you could spend the rest of the millennium in your coffin, the rotting corpse. If you drowned at sea and eaten by a shark, you might end up riding on the shark till the shark rots and dies and rots. Or you might be promoted by a Satanist and put through a rigorous training program and then deployed to lead other people into the sins that you were so expert in. And again, you can say to me, but James, I thought he was a loving God. Well, you don't believe he exists, so what's that got to do with anything? Again, when he started this experiment, he did not expect people not to believe in him. When the first person died not believing in him, he had nowhere in heaven for them, so he left them on earth with their corpse. It all makes perfect sense when you think it through and stop listening to all the nonsense that is spoken about. So it's a pretty horrible situation. Imagine you could be stuck in your grave forever, or in the crematorium oven or its ruins forever, or at the bottom of the ocean where you drowned, or buried under a mudslide, or recruited into the demonic army, where you will be tortured if you get out of line as you are used to lead people into sin, error, and the same confusion that led to your situation. So that is it. In all cases, fully conscious of what is going on and unable to change anything. Think about it. Maybe at the wake, you managed to jump off your corpse onto your granddaughter, who you love deeply, and to lead her into the same sins that you were in. And you can't tell her the truth. Because if you even attempt, the satanic messenger, the satanic angel that is keeping an eye on that person will march you off, and you will be tortured and beaten until you realize that you can't speak truth when you're serving Satan. At the end of the millennium, if there is a believer in right standing, free of sin, to call for Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus, to return, then Yeshua will return. All the unbelievers will be gathered up and cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and earth will become a recreation destination for the people in heaven. If there is not at least one believer in right standing at the end of the millennium, then Satan will be granted to rule on earth for eternity. Yah will withdraw his universal spirit from planet earth. Everything will instantly die. And you will be left on a corpse which doesn't even rot, because there's actually nothing alive to cause it to rot. forever and ever and ever and ever. Think about it. I think that's a good reason to decide to serve the Almighty. So these are your only options. If you're not strongly confident that you fall into the first three categories, then I suggest that you do what you need to do in order to come to a place of conviction that the Almighty exists, and then pray. Father, I now recognize that you exist. I deeply desire to spend eternity with you. In the name of Yeshua, I ask you to forgive me and accept me as your child and your servant. Please guide me and teach me and lead me to people and resources who can help me to serve you faithfully to the end of my life. Website www.endtimeissueministries.org contains considerable material that will help you with this. So, folks, that's the end of my message. I'm going to go on to a few details in a minute, so bear with me. Having said all this, I want to stress to you that at the end of the day, the Almighty Creator wants a deep personal relationship with you. I don't care who you are, your race, your creed, your color, your age, your education, your wealth, whatever, or lack of the above, your religion. It doesn't matter if you're a Satanist. The Almighty Creator wants a deep personal relationship with you, and it's there for you. I want to wrap up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to Him today. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. As I said a minute ago, it's irrelevant whether you are Muslim or Jewish or Hindu or Christian or Buddhist or whatever. It's irrelevant whether you're a Satanist or a witch or a warlock. It's irrelevant whether you're fat or thin or short or tall or rich or poor or educated or uneducated, whether you're black or white or colored or whatever, whether you're an African, an Asian, an Indian, an American, a European, whatever. It doesn't matter. He is not concerned about that. He wants you to become His friend. You can start today. Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I come to you and I ask you to take me by the hand and lead me and help me to become your friend. It's relatively easy to get to a place where He is your friend. It's not so easy to get to a place where you are His friend. He is by nature friendly. It's going to take you a bit of time to figure out how to be friendly to Him, and it's going to take some effort. But as I've said, the price is worth it. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. He will meet you wherever you are, whoever you are, wherever you've come from, whatever atrocities you've committed, whatever sins you steeped in. He will take you by the hand, and if you allow Him to lead you and ask Him to lead you and listen and watch and be obedient and observant, He will help you to clean up your life. He will help you to get to a place where you can hear Him clearly. He will help you to get to a place where you know His will in your life. He will help you to get to a place where He is enabling you to make a decent living and look after yourself. And he will help you to get to a place where you qualify for a high throne for eternity. If you've been listening to my broadcast for a while, you're probably going to drop off in a moment. If this is your first or second or third time on this broadcast, I'd ask you to stay behind. I've got a few bits I want to share with you. So to those of you who've been with me for a while, thank you so much for listening and have a good night. In closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 31 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. Following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video on the website, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe. Please visit the website at www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. The ETI version of the Bible with the correction of key translation errors is on the ETI Bible version webpage, and recordings of nearly all of the transcript of the teachings broadcast so far can be found by searching on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio in quotes. And transcripts and the recordings are also available on the Transcripts of Broadcasts webpage on the website. Books with teachings from 1998 till May 2019 are on the Books for Printing webpage. I publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Thanks so much for listening. Good night.
Father, I come to you.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to share with you the different views of the mountain of relationship with the Almighty Creator and the question, and then I want to pose the question of where you are in terms of your direction when you die. I will draw some important learnings from these articles to share with you and conclude that if you're not actively seeking a high throne for eternity, you're missing the point of your existence. Please listen to my broadcast on W4CY.com radio or Talk4TV.com and visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I look forward to meeting you. Thank you.